the Word of God at the Gospel of John, the 19th chapter. And I couldn't help but think at the Lord's Supper this morning, our brother got up and read to us from the book of Hebrews, and how it touched my heart of even the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ that we saw in that second chapter. What the Lord Jesus Christ went through for us, made a little lower than the angels. Beloved, as we see this great portion of God's Word that we have before us this morning, even as I think that the Lord Jesus Christ says in that 28th verse, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Beloved, it's one thing about the Lord Jesus Christ. He wanted all of the Scriptures to be fulfilled. Though in his dying hour, the last moments of his life, it was one thing that was on the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want the Scriptures fulfilled. Beloved, that's another proof to us that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Is God manifested in the flesh? All the Old Testament Scriptures, as we looked at before, on Psalm 22, Isaiah 53, Isaiah 9, and all of the Scriptures that pertain to the life of the Lord Jesus Christ and his death are brought forth in this book. And even that we find in Psalm 69, and maybe we could turn to that, but before we turn to Psalm 69, notice what it says in that 29th verse. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. Now, beloved, the Scriptures must be fulfilled. And he says, I thirst. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, there on the cross of Calvary, saying, I thirst. But they had, not by accident, a vessel full of vinegar set right by the cross. Now, why did they do it? They did it because God said that the Scriptures might be fulfilled. They didn't have to run down to the store or send to somebody's house. It was there. Now, it wasn't an accident. And going over the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ in a different sermon that I brought on it, it has touched my heart to see how everything is brought forth to the glory and praise of the Lord Jesus Christ. That God just brings it forth from his birth right to his death, the Scriptures must be fulfilled. Now, this is proof to me in my heart and life that this is the book of God. That there's no accident in the Word of God. Nothing happened that wasn't planned before the foundation of the earth. Before God ever laid the foundation of the earth, before the Lord Jesus Christ spoke this world into the existence, because in the first chapter of the Gospel of John, we notice the Lord Jesus Christ is the creator of the universe. The creator is the one that was going to die. Before this was ever accomplished, before he ever put the sun and the moon and the stars and the earth in its place, they said in heaven, as you find even in the New Testament, that God was going to give his Son a sacrifice. Even before the earth was made, before Satan had ever fallen, before Adam and Eve had ever sinned, God said, this is going to be our plan. They knew the failure of man. But God in his righteousness provided a plan of salvation for each one of us. And when you get into this part of the Word of God and you see that the Lord Jesus Christ says, I thirst, it was to fulfill Psalm 69. Now let's just turn in our Bibles, if you don't mind turning in your Bibles, to Psalm 69 and see what this utterance that the Lord Jesus Christ brought out on the cross, how it is brought forth here in Psalm 69. Notice what it says in the 21st verse. They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ knew what was in the Word of God. The Lord Jesus Christ knew what was before him. And so he brings out, I thirst. Because he wanted this Scripture fulfilled that all might know that the Word of God was being fulfilled right in their presence. But you notice the next verse of our chapter, in the 19th chapter of John in the 30th verse, it says, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Now, beloved, this is a wonderful thing. The Lord Jesus Christ has just been on the cross now for 6 hours. From about 9 o'clock until 3 o'clock, when the Lord Jesus Christ took the vinegar, and then he gave up the ghost. Now, I want us to think of something. In the next verse, it brings out something that's very important. In the 31st verse, it says, the Jews, therefore, because it was a preparation, that the body should not remained upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Now, beloved, the Sabbath, the preparation of the Sabbath. Now, you notice in brackets in your Scopio Bible, if you have a Scopio Bible, it has in brackets, for that Sabbath was a high day. Now, a lot of people, is the reason that they get mixed up on the Lord Jesus Christ rising from the dead on the first day of the week, that they feel that Good Friday was the day that Jesus Christ was crucified. They said Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And the reason that they think Friday was the day that he was crucified on is because it says the Sabbath draws nigh. But if you notice here, it has in brackets, for that Sabbath was a high day. It wasn't a regular Jewish Sabbath day such as Saturday. For I believe every one of us that have been taught the Word of God from our youth up should know that Saturday is a Sabbath day. Sunday is not the Sabbath. Now, I know some Protestant churches say that Sunday is the Lord's Sabbath. But, beloved, it's not a Sabbath. We are not resting in a day. The reason the Sabbath day was given to Israel is they literally rested on the seventh day. They rested on Saturday. They weren't allowed to pick up so much as a stone. They weren't allowed to make a fire. They weren't supposed to kindle a fire. They were supposed to keep the Sabbath day holy. The reason is they were resting in a day. Now, why do we remember Sunday then as the first day of the week? Why do we remember Sunday instead of Saturday? Why don't we meet on Saturday? The seventh day of Venice, they meet on Saturday. The Jews still meet on Saturday. Why don't we meet on Saturday? The reason that we don't meet on Saturday is the Sabbath speaks even of death. Jesus Christ is in the grave on the Sabbath. But we remember the first day of the week because Jesus Christ arose victorious over sin, the devil, and the grave. We are remembering a living Savior. We're not resting in a day. We are resting in the person of Jesus Christ. We're resting in His sacrifice which He gave on the cross. And oh, I wish I could get this out to so many people. So many people today are still trying to rest in their church membership. Don't rest in church membership. Because you don't know if the secretary is a very good secretary and if he's got your name written on the roll right. You don't want to trust any roll down here, beloved. You don't want to trust any church down here or any preacher. And I'm a preacher myself, and I'm not complaining about preachers because I'd be going against myself. Preachers are sent forth to preach the gospel. But I don't rest in a person, a man on earth. I rest in a person at God's right hand, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm resting in Him. I'm not resting in a church. I'm not resting in a day. I'm resting in a person. Another thing, the Jews couldn't keep the Sabbath day. Now, that's why they feel that the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified on Friday. But, beloved, this is a special day. Now, personally, you might disagree with me, and that's all right. I'll let brotherly love continue. I'll love you just as much if you disagree with me. But, personally, I feel the Lord Jesus Christ is crucified on Wednesday.
Turn it.
You might say, why? Beloved, God said, and Jesus Christ said Himself, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And from Friday, you can't get 3 days and three nights. Friday, He was taken down. Say it was Friday. Say that's your contention. He was crucified on Friday. Okay, yeah, take Him down before 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock starts Saturday. Because 6 o'clock starts, it doesn't go from 12 o'clock to 12 o'clock their days. Jewish religion starts at 6 o'clock Friday evening and ends 6 o'clock Saturday evening is the Sabbath. 6 o'clock Saturday evening to 6 o'clock Sunday evening is the first day of the week. And 6 o'clock Sunday evening to 6 o'clock Monday evening is the second day of the week. You see, it goes from 6 o'clock to 6 o'clock. And that's why sometimes us Americans are mixed up. But if we would only go according to the Word of God, we wouldn't be mixed up. So if you say Friday, well, He was then put in the tomb just as the Sabbath was ending, or just as the Sabbath, you might say, was ending, yes, because it would have been, or starting, Friday evening. It would have been just starting. He would have been put in the grave on Saturday. Well, how in the world could it be 3 days and three nights? He had to rise the first day of the week. Well, that started any time after 6 o'clock on Saturday evening. So, beloved, He would have only been in the tomb one day. You see, so it's impossible for him to be crucified on Friday. But if you take Wednesday at about 3 o'clock he was taken down. Now, even though you go Thursday, and a lot of Bible scholars say Thursday, but you only get 2.5 days. You only get 2.5 days. You can't get 3 days and three nights by going Thursday. The only way you can get 3 days and three nights is by Wednesday. You follow it up. Any time from 6 o'clock Saturday evening to the morning hours, Jesus Christ could have arisen from the grave. And beloved, when they came to the tomb while it was still dark, he was already gone. He was already gone. The scripture says so. He was already risen from the grave. Now you might say you're making a strong point on that, but I like to do that because there's so much mistaken about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and the preparation of the Sabbath. The preparation of the Sabbath. Now let's go into the Old Testament. The lamb that they were killing for the Passover, that's what the day they were remembering. Jesus Christ was dying on the cross of Calvary. At the same time, the priest was killing the Passover lamb. You might say, now wait a minute, Jim. If that's true, that can't be right. Because the next day was the Sabbath. But beloved, they didn't kill the animal on the Sabbath. They killed it the day before. Remember Exodus 12. You've got to go into Exodus 12. What did they do? They didn't kill the animal the day the Lord was going to pass through the land. What were they remembering? They were remembering the night that they were in that house and they were protected by the blood on the lintel and the two side posts. They had to put that on the side post and on the lintel the day before the angel came. In other words, when the angel, when a destroyer came through that land of Egypt that night, he says, now you take the animal and you kill it and you put the blood on the lintel and the side post and I will come in. Now when Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross, they were making ready, they were killing the animal to remember the Passover, not realizing that he was the Passover. He was going to be the one. When he said, it is finished, the veil of the temple was rent in two. It was torn from the top right down to the bottom. The holy place was made open to anybody to see it. It ended the worship on earth. That's why our worship isn't in a building today. If it was in a building, we couldn't meet here this morning and hear God's word. That's why we can meet like this. We don't have stained glass windows. You have curtains on your window. Not that I'm poking fun. But what I'm trying to bring to you, if it's a building that we worship in, then we're in the wrong place. But you see, it's not stained glass windows. It's not the robe of a preacher. A lot of times a person will say, well, why don't your preachers have robes? Beloved, this priest in the Old Testament, he was such a hypocrite. He was saying outside the judgment hall, it says when Pilate brings him forth, behold the man and behold the king. He says, look at him. As you look at the Lord Jesus Christ, he had to bring him outside. Why? Because the priest and those that we wanted to remember the Passover couldn't go into the judgment hall, because if they would have gone into the judgment hall, then they couldn't remember the Passover. That hypocrite, that high priest was the biggest hypocrite that ever lived. He stood outside and said, Pilate, you crucify him. He didn't come into the judgment hall and say things against Christ. He stood outside and Pilate brought him out. Why? Because he wanted to still put on his holy garments and to kill an animal and remember the Passover. That's hypocrisy, beloved. That's hypocrisy. Pilate brought him forth and said, I find no fault in him. He said, crucify him. When he was saying, crucify Christ, he was putting on his garments to go in before God the Father. Then we're remembering the Passover, not realizing that the Passover lamb that he was going to slay was hanging on a cross for his sins. Now, beloved, let's turn to the book of Corinthians for a minute. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. Now, sometimes people think I'm awful strong on these points. But, oh, if we'd only get what God's Word plainly states to us, we wouldn't be mixed up. Notice the 7th verse of the 5th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Why did he have to be sacrificed Why did he have to be crucified the day before the Passover? Well, beloved, that's when they slew the lamb. The next day was the Passover. What were they going to remember? The Passover. They were going to remember that one day the Lord protected all the Israelites when they were in their home. And on the outside of the home, the day before they made preparation, they put the blood on the door and the lintel. And they were saying, "Thank God you spared us from your wrath." Beloved, everybody that's saved today, we thank God and we say, our Passover is Christ. God's judgment is not going to come on Jim Redley. God's judgment is not going to come on you if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Passover. But beloved, if you haven't accepted Him, if you haven't accepted His death and His sacrifice that He gave on the cross of Calvary for your sins, then you will endure God's wrath. What wrath? Beloved, that 69th Psalm brings out what God did to Christ and even what man did. But Isaiah 53 points out what we did to Him. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Oh, beloved, that's what man did for us. But really, it was our sins that were laid upon Him. And you notice here, the preparation of the Passover comes and they want to remember Him. I want us to look at another scripture, what says here. You know, down here in the 33rd verse, it says, and when they came to Jesus, maybe we should read the 32nd verse. Then the soldiers, and this is because, as they said in that 31st verse, that the Sabbath was coming on. And these people were still alive on the cross. And you see, they were getting worried because of that verse in the book of Deuteronomy, which we'll turn to in a moment. They were getting worried because these three people, the Lord Jesus Christ and two others with Him, as the Gospel of John brings out, on either side one, Jesus in the midst, they were there, but it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They had to get those bodies down before 6 o'clock, before the sunset. Because if they didn't, the book of Deuteronomy said, don't let a man's body hang on the cross all night, because if you do, your ground will be cursed. And so the priest remembers this. He said, we've got to get those bodies down. But they look to the men at the cross, and 6 hours has only passed by. But beloved, in the execution of the Romans, when they executed somebody by crucifixion, sometimes their bodies laid for 2 days on the cross. But the Jews couldn't have their bodies laid for 2 days on the cross. Because God said, if you do, I'm going to curse your ground. Well, they didn't want their ground cursed. And so they said to Pilate, we've got to get those bodies down, because if you don't get those bodies down, they're going to be on the cross on the Sabbath day, on the preparation of the Sabbath of the Passover. Oh, that can't be. Hypocrisy again? Hypocrisy again? Isn't that hypocritical? Trying to do something for your religion. Get down their bodies in a hurry. Now, you notice what happens in the 32nd verse. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with Him. Beloved, they went up to the cross and they broke the legs. Why? So it would bring death on the subjects that were on the cross. They could have lasted for 2 days. But now it was only 6 hours that expired. So they break the one leg and then they go over and break the other. But you notice that the scripture says, but when they came to Jesus and saw that He was dead already, they break not His legs. Now why? Beloved, you get this back in the Passover lamb. Now let me prove something to you, that He is a Passover. If you have any question about Jesus Christ being a Passover lamb, let's go to the book of Exodus, the 12th chapter that I mentioned. It tells you about the Passover, when they're getting ready for the Passover lamb, in the 12th chapter of the book of Exodus. And beloved, I hope that this is interesting to you, because my heart, as I've been thinking of this this morning, of this great portion of God's Word, how it thrills my soul to see what the Lord Jesus Christ has done through His Word. Notice the 46th verse. In one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth out of the flesh abroad out of the house. Neither shall ye break a bone thereof. Beloved, when they came to that Passover lamb, they shed the blood, They put the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel. Let me just show you something here, and I've said this before, and take my recorder with me so they'll get it on tape. When they put the blood, beloved, right over here on the door of the Egyptian home, they had the god of Egypt up here. The god of Egypt was a serpent and so on. On this side of the door was all the those that were born in the house. In other words, the genealogy, all that were born in that household were named, their names were put on the outside of the doorpost. On this side of the doorpost in the Egyptian's house, they put down the good works or the achievements that somebody had done that was born in that house. Now God said to them, you're not saved by the God of Egypt. Cover it with the blood of the Lamb. Beloved, you're not saved by other religions. You're saved when you believe in the blood of the Lamb, our Passover Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not saved because you've been born in a certain household. Now, I give this over and over again, and if you've heard my tape, you've heard me say it already. But I'm going to say it again, and I'm going to say it a lot more before I die and go to heaven. Beloved, when they had this side of the doorpost, they had the person that was born in that house. Somebody was born in this house, their name was recorded outside. God said you're not saved just because you've been born in some family. Now, there might be somebody here this morning. You've got a wonderful mother and dad that are Christians that are in heaven maybe. But just because they're saved, it doesn't mean you're going to be saved. You're not saved by achievements. You're saved when you trust the blood of the Lamb. Cover that up. Put the blood of the animal there. Put the blood of the lamb. Then over here, the good works. A lot of people say, well, I'm going to be saved because I've done a lot of good works. They had all their good achievements written on this side of the doorpost. God says, cover it up with the blood. You're not saved by good works. Now, beloved, that's what they were remembering when they got in to remember the Passover lamb. They were remembering that they were sheltered by the blood. Now, they gave that blood the day before, but they were protected when God went through the land. And, beloved, if we don't prepare before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to be too late. You get what I mean? They had to do it the day before. If you're ever going to be saved, you better get saved now. God says today is the day of salvation. You haven't got tomorrow. Maybe as the Egyptian said, well, if I see that the destroyer comes, then I'll put the blood. It was too late. You had to do it aforetime. You had to do it the day ahead. That's why Jesus Christ was killed the day before the Passover. And I want to make that clear to many of my listeners that will hear this tape throughout the world. Beloved, I want them to know that it had to be the day before that he was crucified. Some people say, why wasn't he crucified on the Passover day? Why was he crucified the day before? Well, beloved, before they remembered the Passover, they had to kill a lamb the day before because the blood had to be put. And if we're ever going to be saved, we have to apply the blood before we ever die. Because if we don't, it will never do us any good. No matter how much we know about it, we won't be saved. Now, beloved, isn't that an interesting thing that we see in the Word of God in Exodus, the 12th chapter and the 46th verse, that it tells them that a bone shouldn't be broken. When they ate inside that house, when the blood was on the outside, on the inside, those people were supposed to put their sandals on their feet. They were supposed to have their staff in their hand, and they were supposed to sit there and eat of the roasted lamb. They roasted the lamb. They eat of the lamb inside. Because at 12 o'clock, God says, I'm going to strike. And then Pharaoh is going to send you out of the land. Be ready to go. You're going to get the marching orders. And not even a dog will bark when 3 million Jews will walk out of the land of Egypt free from the penalty and slavery. You're going to be saved by the blood of the Lamb. But you eat that lamb until you get the call to go. You eat. And so they're eating. But he says, don't take any of that animal's parts with you. Leave it in the home. Eat what you can. And don't you break a bone of it. Why not break a bone? God says in the book of Psalms, not a bone will be broken. Isn't it a wonderful thing that the Lord Jesus Christ brings this all up? Let's look at the book of Psalms once again. Psalm 22. And with this, I'll close. It seems like my time goes so quickly. And I just love to preach God's Word and get it out to interesting people. But you notice what it even brings out here in the 16th verse of the 22nd Psalm. For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me, they pierced my hands and my feet. Oh, beloved, I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. Isn't the word of God accurate as it brings out the Lord Jesus Christ having his bones not broken, as we saw in Exodus, that chapter, the 46th verse. Let me read you that once again, what it says. Neither shall ye break a bone thereof. Neither shall ye break a bone thereof. Now turn to the 34th Psalm and the 20th verse. And I have to get this in a hurry because time goes so quickly. The 34th Psalm, now notice here once again what God's Word brings out about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. It brings it out very powerfully in the 34th Psalm and the 20th verse. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Not one is broken. Now, beloved, why did God bring this out? Because he wanted us to see that the Lord Jesus Christ, all of the scriptures of the Old Testament, was fulfilled in this one that died on the cross of Calvary. Not a bone would be broken. You notice in the 34th verse of the 19th chapter of John, it says, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. Now, beloved, the reason that God had his side opened up to prove two things. First of all, that he was dead already. You see, if the soldier would have taken his spear and pierced the side of Christ, John 10, brother, that you're discussing in your next lesson, would be a lie. John 10 would be a lie. The Lord Jesus Christ had to die before his blood was shed. Now, he had shed blood from his hands, his feet, and from his head. But blood and water came forth from his side. Now the reason that he had to be dead already, if he wasn't, when the soldier pierced his side, the soldier could have said, I took his life from him. God says, oh no, you're not. Jesus laid down his life. He died. He says, I commend my spirit into your hands. He gave up the ghost. He died. He had to die first. Because if he hadn't have died first, then the soldier could have said, I took his life. God said, no way, you're going to take his life. He died, and then the soldier pierced his side, and when he pierced his side, it was proving that he was dead already. Why? Because blood and water came down together. If he would have still been alive, it would have only been blood. Now, isn't that amazing? It would have only been blood. But, beloved, to prove that he was dead, it was blood and water. To show the two, the heart had stopped beating, and, in other words, it wasn't being rushed out just in blood. But, beloved, it was blood and water. Isn't it a wonderful thing that God's Word is so accurate? That's why, beloved, we can trust the Lord Jesus Christ with all of our heart and with all of our soul, and not have to worry about one thing, because he is...